The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we are given, I believe, to be a very important command from our loving God. So if you go with me to 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what this verse is telling us is that we are to study if we are to be accepted before God. The question that we need to ask is, what exactly is this verse admonishing us to study? The word study is translated from the Greek word spoudazo. This Greek word is defined as to use speed. Now, in that context, to use speed, what it is actually referring to is to make effort. In other words, it would be hasty, that kind of thing. It means to be prompt or to be earnest, to do diligence, to be diligent, endeavor, labor, study. So I think when you just look at this Greek word here, obviously, whatever it is that we are to study is to be done diligently and to be done with a sense of urgency. And that's what we would come out of there. So when it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. So we ask again, what is it that we are to study if we are to be and to show ourselves approved before God? Studying our Bible certainly would help us. Yet at the very same time, we also need to understand and to realize that studying the Bible of and by itself will not make us approved unto God. Basically, we could study all we like. We could study all day long. We could study all the time. But without applying what we learn, our study is largely in vain. For us to get a clearer understanding of what is being stated in the first part of this verse 15, what it is admonishing us to study, it helps us to take a look at some other Bible translations. I want to look, first of all, at just one alternate translation, and from the Amplified Bible, it states, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourselves to God approved, tested by trial. And so I think we need to notice here that this translation includes more of the literal meaning of the Greek word sudazo. It certainly is a clearer interpretation than the King James Version, because it has more of the action, more of what it is that we're to be doing. It should be obvious that we need to study God's Word to be able to know what to apply and how we can apply it to our lives, so that we will be able to take on God's nature. Now, that's the underlying thing here. We're to be studying to be approved before God. In other words, we're to be becoming more and more like God in every way. In other words, we're to be taking on the nature of God. Also, we need to study Jesus Christ and His nature so that we will know what to emulate, and so that we can know how we have to become like He is. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yet, let's also realize there is more to 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 that we need to understand and that we may not really gather when we first take a look at the verse, at first glimpse of the verse. What is really interesting here in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, is to take a look at it at some foreign language Bibles. Now, I'm not going to give you the foreign language itself, but they're translated into English. And I find it very, very interesting because there's more than one of them has it translated this way. Study yourself to present yourself before God as a man approved. Now, that's it. When you really examine this verse, and you really look at it, that's it. That's what this verse is actually saying. Now, we have to take a look at it and understand more about what we're being told here, what we're being taught, what we're being admonished here by looking at this verse. So, without a doubt, I think this is possibly the most concise and true translation of this verse of any of the translations that I've looked at. And I looked at this verse and well over 20 different Bibles, and at least three different foreign language Bibles, translated in English, of course. But they all three of them that I looked at, they said the same thing, which I believe to be concise and exactly what it is we're to get out of this verse. And so what we need to understand is this is telling us that we are to also study ourselves. Study yourself to present yourself before God as a man approved. What this is saying is that we are to see ourselves so that we can see how we measure up to Jesus Christ and the nature of God. So I have a question. What do we see? That what this is all about is self-examination. This is about self-examination. In other words, and I have five bullets for you here, because I know some of you like it in bullets. I do myself, because it's concise. The first one is, it is taking a closer look at ourselves. The second one, it is seeing how we measure up to the nature of Jesus Christ. The third one is, it is by acknowledging our errors. The next one, it is then doing what is right so that self-examination will prepare us. And the fifth one, self-examination will make us approved unto God. Now, with this in mind, please go with me to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Brethren, this self-examination includes testing, proving, discerning, and trying us. Ourselves, not somebody else, but this is looking at me. This is looking at you from your personal point of view. You could put your name there. Spadezo, the Greek word translated study, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, tells us that this is a lengthy and hard examination, and therefore it includes and it indicates that it is to be detailed. So, brethren, we all need to understand the manner and the attitude and how we examine ourselves reveals something about us to God. I want to repeat that because I think this is a very important understanding. The attitude and the manner and how we examine ourselves reveals something about us to God. Now again, I believe three things to me that it reveals about us, three bullets again. Number one, It shows how badly we want to be ruled by God. The second one, it shows how deeply we desire to become like He is, like Him, like God, like Jesus Christ. And number three, it also reveals the depth of our conversion. You see, brethren, God stresses that we are to examine ourselves, that we are to repent, and that we are to overcome. And an important question that we need to ask ourselves as we are involved in this self-examination process might be something along the lines of, is my attitude one of wanting to do the right thing? Now, I know we'll all say, well, of course it is. And I hope that it is. Of course it is. But the reason we examine ourselves is to see, is it? Is that really what it is? Or are we just simply going through the motion? Examine ourselves before Passover. We're encouraged to do so. We're told to do so. And this is where we're going to focus on here. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Now, I know Paul is speaking to a church pastor, to Timothy here, but let's listen to the whole verse. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Is this our attitude toward others and toward ourselves? In other words, how do we interact with other people? Are we going to do it this way, the godly way, the biblical way? Is this what he's telling us to do? Yes, and I understand. You could back up and say, well, he's not telling me to do that because I'm not a church pastor. No, he's telling us to do this, these principles for all of us. Now, you can do an entire study on just that one passage to understand more about what it is saying, but that's how we're to have, that's the attitude that we're to have and how we deal with other people. I'm not going into the details about all of those words there, but that's what it is. Go with me to Galatians 5 and verse 22. Now, you know this verse. You could probably, most of you, quote it to me, and that's a good thing. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And as we look at these different aspects of the Holy Spirit of God, we need to examine ourselves, looking at them, seeing if these points of God's Spirit are in us or not. Philippians 2:5. You know this, because we're also to observe the mind of Jesus Christ, and then let his mind be in us. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A question as we're examining ourselves before the Passover is it? Is the mind of Jesus Christ in me, your name, yes or no? Here, we need to ask ourselves, how can we do this successfully if we continue to sin? Do we realize that if we compromise with the smallest, tiniest sin, that we would say, oh, that is so small, it's so almost insignificant? Please understand, Jesus died because of sin. Sin is sin. But we still label them and we say, well, it's a small little sin, just a minor little thing. But if we compromise with what we may label the smallest of sins, we can run the risk of it growing and getting out of control, making it much more difficult for us to overcome. There is no small sin. And we need to have that in our mind, in our thinking, that there is no small sin. Sin is sin. Yes, some of them may have more of an immediate impact on more lives, but sin is sin. And unrepented of, whatever it is, we're not going to be in the kingdom of God. I want to use the illustration that Jesus used in comparing faith and the mustard seed, which is the tiniest of seeds. And then that tiniest of seeds will grow into a tree that could be anywhere from 6 to 12 feet tall. Tiniest of seeds, but it can grow to this huge thing. Now, I'm going to use the same illustration. We can also use this illustration of sin, which can also grow huge. In other words, sin starts out small in our lives and often grows huge in our lives. As we approach Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we need to take the time to search every nook and cranny of our lives. I mean, that's why we hunt down, as it were, the leavened bread in our homes, because it pictures sin. It's not sin, it pictures sin. And so he gives us this physical thing that we can go and do. Now, I know sometimes we get over much in that and we lose the spiritual. I'm not getting into that aspect. That's not what I'm saying. But I want you to go with me now to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. We're admonished, bringing into the captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, brethren, no matter how well we know our Bibles or how long we've been in the church, we still have the potential as being sinners. And we need to understand that. We need to see that. And 1 John 1 and verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, I realize none of us are going to say, I have not sinned. But the purpose for examining ourselves to see, are we sinning now? You know, is it still there? Is it something that I haven't seen in times past? So we need to take a look at it. First John 1:10, that's what I just read. See, here's the point. Satan knows that he has just a very short time. That's what we're told over in Revelation 12 and verse 12. And he's going to do everything in his power to try and make us overlook sin. I mean, so when you think about it, after all, what we need to understand is we all still have human nature. When we were baptized, it didn't go away. I mean, I could go through and Paul says, I have these two natures warring within me. One is the nature of man and the other is the nature of God. And so we still have both. We understand that. And that's the one that Satan is going to attack. That's the one that he's going to come after us, is in the area of our human nature, wanting us to overlook sins. So therefore, we need to be aware of becoming complacent with sin, and not be, but actually take a look at it and see. I hope that what we do is we find much less this year than we did last year. And I hope next year we find even less than we find this year, because we are sinning less. But we still have the human nature, and that's where Satan is going to attack us. I also hope that we realize that sin can hide itself in many places in our lives. Therefore, detailed self-examination is important. Otherwise, we risk partaking the Passover unworthily. Now, let's go to the verse where that is stated. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, which is talking about the church of God. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many have died. It's kind of hard to say, isn't it? Because of us. That's what it's saying. That's what Paul is saying. There are people who have died in the faith. They died maybe, say, earlier than they should have. because others of us in the body did not take the Passover in the right attitude and right spirit, and therefore some are weak and sickly and some have died. And that's a sobering thought. That's a sobering thought. So what does it mean, unworthy? The first thing I think that we understand here is none of us, other than by ourselves, can ever be worthy of God's love and grace. Never. But we have it. But we have it. Because we know that Jesus willingly sacrificed his life so that we will be considered worthy. As baptized members of Jesus' body, having God's Holy Spirit within us, we are worthy and we are commanded to keep the Passover. We're told that we are to examine ourselves and see where we are in light of our human nature and the human and the Holy Spirit within us, comparing it with Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what we're doing. That's the comparison that we're making. Now I want to go back to the word unworthy. The word means with irreverence or with contempt. I find it hard to believe that there would be baptized members in the body of Jesus Christ who would come to the Passover in that manner. But Paul warns us that some have. And so it's something that's real. We need to look at ourselves. Are we taking it in an irreverent manner, or are we doing it with contempt? Because we need to understand this scripture is not talking about a believer being worthy or unworthy to take the Passover. That's not what it is saying. Because we're commanded to take the Passover. We're told, examine ourselves and take the Passover. It is addressing the manner and the attitude in which we do it, in the manner that we do partake of the Passover. Let's also realize Satan will try to deceive us by sending us messages that we are unworthy to observe the Passover. Do not let him deceive you. Jesus Christ already died that we can be worthy and take the Passover. And at the same time, we have the our part is that we are to examine ourselves and read out all that we can see. God does it, we understand that, but we still are to look at ourselves in that way, in that particular manner. So let's ask ourselves, how important is self-examination to me? Make it personal in your life. How important is self-examination to you in your life before the Passover? We just read these verses, 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29, but let a man examine himself, for he that eats and drinks unworthily or in an irreverent or in a contempt way eats and drinks judgment or damnation to himself. So it's pretty important that we are to take a look at ourselves. Well, I've done that in times past, so I don't have to do that this year. I would dare say, I would think that that is very closely bordering on contempt or an irreverent manner. No, because we're told to do it. We're told to do it. 2 Corinthians 13:5. A lot of these verses I'm going to use today are very, very familiar to all of us, and that's okay. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now I have a couple of other verses. I'd like for you just to write the verse down, and I'll read them to you because I want to go to them real quickly. Galatians 6 and verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And the next one is Lamentations 3 and verse 40. Lamentations 3 verse 40. Let us search and try, in the New American Standard Bible says, let us examine and probe our ways and turn again to the Lord. Now, with this we've seen to this point in mind, I have some questions, and I have verses with them, and I'd like for each one of us to consider as we go through our self-examination of ourselves for Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. So as we read the questions and we note the verses that are attached to it, ask ourselves this question and consider, do I do these things? Are these verses real in my life? If not, then start. Because we remember, this is a time of self-examination. Okay, the first question, am I asking God to help me examine myself? Psalm 26 and verse 2 from the New American Standard Bible. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind, meaning my inner man, and my heart. Psalm 139 and verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Are we asking God, do you know these kinds of verses as we examine ourselves? We need to be. The next question is, how badly do I want God's word to rule in my life? We need to understand, these questions are questions we could be asking ourselves all year long. But I think it's a good time to do this now. Again, I want to give you several verses here, and I'd like to give you the verses, and I'll read them. You can turn and keep up, that's great. But if you don't, at least get the verses down. The question is, how badly do I want God's word to rule in my life? Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's pretty detailed in my life, to love the Word of God and to rule in my life. That I use the Word of God like a sharp two-edged sword to cut out what is not the good thing, to reject the evil and keep the good. The next one is in Romans 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Remember, this is a question. How badly do I want God's word to rule in my life? Next one, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Next one, Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. As we examine ourselves and we're asking ourselves, how badly do I want the Word of God to rule in my life? A question that goes along with that is, looking at this verse, is how easily am I offended? Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And you look this word up, nothing, and it means no thing, nothing, nothing. Can people come at us with all kinds of stuff to offend us? Of course. Where does that really come from? Well, it comes from Satan, and we understand that, to discourage us. He's attacking our human nature again, and he's using people to do it. It's not the people. They're pawns. But if we love God's word to rule in our lives, nothing's going to offend us. We're going to, just as Jesus Christ said, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. The people who killed Jesus Christ, he says, they didn't know what they were doing. And these people who do these things to cause us, that we would allow it to be offensive to us, they don't know what they're doing. And so we forgive them. And we don't allow these things in our lives. So with these verses that we've seen, another question we ask is God's Word living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword in our lives? The answer is yes or no. Have some other questions here under that particular question of how badly do I want God's Word to rule in my life. Some other questions or bullets, if you want to call it that. Is God's Word a delight in our lives? You can put your own name there. The next one. Is God's Word at peace in our lives? The next one. Is God's Word something that we love? And then the last one is, how would we answer these questions in our lives at a personal level? Okay, let's go to the next, I will say, major question that we're addressing. Do I study and meditate on God's Word so that I can better apply it to my life? Or is studying and meditating the Word of God just a nuisance? Or is it real? I mean, you know, we tell people that we're a Christian or a believer, and we tell people this book is what directs my life. Do we spend time in praying and meditating and studying? And the answer is yes or no. And so we need to consider this. Remember what we're doing. We're examining ourselves, self-examination before the Passover. You don't have to submit these answers to anyone other than yourself and to God. Joshua 1 and verse 8, just the A part of that verse, Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Day and night. I know you could say, yeah, but Joshua was taking over the spot of Moses. That was much more important. We are sons of God. We are brothers of Jesus Christ. We're going to reign and rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. We don't think that this is important for us. I think it is. And I think that you think so too. Still under this same question, Psalm 119 in verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That is probably one of the most important ones for us to commit to memory as we self-examine ourselves. And one more. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Rightly dividing, we don't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Okay, the next major question. Do I sometimes see my own carnal nature active in my life? Romans 7:23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Do we see that sometimes in our lives? The next question, do I put my faith and trust in God, or do I rely upon my own heart? In other words, I rely upon me. Jeremiah 17:9, you know it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, God is one day going to give us a new heart. It's not going to be that kind of heart. It's going to be the same kind of heart that's in Jesus Christ. But another verse is in Proverbs 28 and verse 26. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. I didn't write this. But whoso walks wisely, he shall be delivered. The next question, is my attitude right with God? Is my attitude right with God? Isaiah 50 and verse 10. 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and hates and has not light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Like I said, I got so many verses, but I wanted you to have these. I mean, I guess I could print it out and just give it to you that way, but I think it's better if you write it. Mark 12 and verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. What is my attitude toward God? Next question, what is my attitude toward the brethren? John 13, 34. This is at the Passover. Jesus is addressing his disciples. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And this is an important question as we are examining ourselves. Do I love the brethren, the other part of the body of Jesus Christ, anyone, anywhere who's part of the body of Jesus Christ? You know that there are things going on in a different groups in different places where that is just not there. And it hurts. It hurts to see these people who have these attitudes toward other people. Well, we're the body and they really are not. Anyway. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Means giving preference to the other person who's your brother. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Galatians 6 verse 1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted. Do you pray for, you know, do we pray for one another? We see somebody got a fault or a weakness. Do we pray for that person, asking God to show them and to deliver them? I hope so. I hope we do. We need to be asking ourselves, do these verses describe our heart and attitude toward the brethren? Or does this next verse describe our heart and attitude toward the brethren? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 8. This is the New American Standard Bible. On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to your brethren. The reason this verse is in the Bible is because some do these things. Don't let it be us. You know, don't let it be me. And you put your name there. Don't let it be you. What is my attitude toward disappointment? You know, how do you react when there's disappointment? We know there's people in our congregation that got some disappointing news, as it were, this week. You know, how do we individually deal with disappointment? Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait you only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Yeah, we're going to receive, we live in a world that doesn't know God, doesn't love God, and doesn't love us because we do love God. We're going to have disappointments. Job 13:15. This is an incredible verse. though he, and the he is God, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. Meaning his ways are the ways he's implying. His ways are hopefully the ways of God. I'm going to maintain that way of life before him at all times. Though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. Romans 8:28, you know this. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This next point, question, be careful in how you deal with this one. Do I ever ask God to correct me? As one of the evangelists years ago used to say, you better be all prayed up first. Now, it was just a saying that he used. In other words, you better have spent a whole lot of time on your knees before God before you start asking God to correct you. You better be as close to him as you can get. But it's a good question at this time of the year to ask. You know, will you correct me? Will you show me? Jeremiah 10:24. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment or justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Could God bring us to nothing? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is he going to? Absolutely not. That's not his purpose. That's not what he's doing. That's not what his intent is. Now, there are many other questions that we need to consider in examining ourselves. And what I'd like you to do is make out your own list of questions. You know? But brethren, God intends for us to determine the reality of our nature. Which one is dominant in our life? The nature of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the human nature that we have because we are flesh and blood and bone human beings? And of course, brethren, I also know and you know that it is impossible to measure it entirely, but we are to come to grips with the potential for evil that exists in our lives. Now, I'm not calling anyone evil. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm implying. But we need to, as we examine ourselves, to realize we have this potential because we're flesh and blood and bone human beings, even though we have God's Holy Spirit. We still have this potential to do evil. And so we need to be aware of that. And so at least annually, we need to measure the extent to which we have overcome the evil in our lives and also examine the sincerity of our commitment to our relationship with God. Then as we openly ask God in faith, he will also reveal even our inward hidden faults to us. Which is really an incredible thing, because he reveals things sometimes, you know, that you'll go, hey, I didn't even know that was even there. Much less that it's part of me, and I'm sure other people even knew it. But, you know, if we don't know it, we don't know it. But that's what David says over here in Psalm 19:12-13. Psalm 19:12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse you me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. It is also another aspect that I want to bring out, and that is it is important that we not be overly discouraged by what he does reveal to us. I mean, after all, what we realize is what we're examining is human nature. And it has lived and grown in our lives for as long as we are old. And I don't care how long we've been baptized, or how many times we've read the Bible, or how many verses we have committed to memory. None of that makes any difference. We still have human nature. And so we need to be aware of that, but we don't be discouraged when God reveals things to us about us. Because if we ask, He will. In fact, brethren, when you really analyze it and really get down to it and think about it, we cannot entirely escape it in the flesh, which is an important reason why believers long for the return of Jesus Christ, because we will be changed from flesh to spirit. And that's gone. That human nature is gone. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to it, and I know you are as well. And so we can't be overly discouraged as we ask Him, correct me, show me my faults and my weaknesses, and He says, okay, you're ready to accept them, and I'll give them to you, because He does. In Psalm 119, David suggests that it is a believer's obligation to turn again day after day, year after year, to God. That's what he tells us. It's what he... Day after day, year after year, this is something that's a process we're going to be going through all of our lives. Psalm 119 and verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said, I have declared, I have promised that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to your word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments. Day by day, year by year, we're to be examining, looking at ourselves, where we are, and the whole scheme of things with God. And that's what David is implying. So, brethren, let's understand. By doing as David taught here, obviously, due to God's intervention and God's strength and His love and mercy upon us, we will be going in the right direction toward receiving the gift of eternal life. But the more we just hang on to and don't do anything and not really examining ourselves, not so much. So as this Passover season approaches, I think it's a real good idea for those of us to set aside a time to fast. I understand we have people who are pregnant and we have people who are and other health issues going on. You have to be cautious. You have to do what you can do. And I understand it. But for those of us who can't, I do believe that it is a really good thing for us to set aside a particular time to search the scriptures and to search ourselves. And so I recommend for those who can that we do. We need to make sure that we are being honest in our inquiry of God regarding our sins and our shortcomings, so that God will never need to reveal them to us in some type of condemnation. Because the fact is, He loves us. And if we don't willingly walk away from some of these things, He will bring it to us in condemnation. And we don't want that. It would be much better for us to realize that Jesus Christ is a righteous judge, that He would much rather that we judge ourselves. In other words, that we examine ourselves and that we turn to righteousness, than for Him to have to point out our faults to us. But He will, if He needs to, because He loves us and He wants us in His family. 1 Corinthians 11, once again, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, if we would examine ourselves, we would not need to be judged. the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, God bless each one of you as you go through and start the preparing, examining selves for the Passover, that you will be ready to take the Passover in a worthy manner, as we really are, because we already belong to God. Happy Sabbath to you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.